Beer Talk. Gespräche über und beim Bier.
Hello and welcome to our podcast Beer Talk. Today we make a very interesting journey. We go to the western part of Africa, a huge continent with a lot of people and a lot of beer. And today we meet Raphael Hilarion. He is a brewer there, he has a brewery there, and he has a very interesting project we will be talking about. But maybe first you introduce yourself a little bit to our listeners.
Hello everyone. It's great to be here. I'm Raphael Hilarion. I'm the founder of the Maison Calao, a brewery born in Senegal 3 years ago. Been in France the past 6 years. Then I moved to Senegal 3 years ago. And with my wife, we built the Maison Calao brewery. And what we wanted to do is to value the local cereal and to have Pan-African beer.
That is a huge thing to say, a Pan-African beer. Also, you call it Pan-African brewery. So really for the whole continent. I just have been to Cape Town and judged at the African Beer Cup. And so I really saw that there's a huge African beer culture and a wide variety and also a lot of interesting ingredients. Also like local herbs, local fruits you can use for making beer. So it's a rich source in Africa, which is maybe not really used yet. But maybe first, let's talk a bit about yourself. So how did you come into the beer world or the beer life? How did that find you?
It's a long story. I will make it short. So before to start brewing, I was working in a theater. So I was doing something else. But I was working with my hands and I wanted to do something by myself to make my own company. And I was speaking into the beer industry or the food industry, both things I love. And it starts because I love beer. And I was in this brew pub called Panam Brewing Company in Paris. I was going there every day and I was fascinated by the work of the brewers. So I was, you know, going there, trying new flavors and asking a lot of things to the brewers. And little by little, I learned a lot. And it was great because it was brewers from Germany, Italy, Republic Czech, and American. So, you know, it was a lot of information to get. And at some point, I just wanted to do more. I asked them like to learn about the breweries. I stayed with them for a day. And I had the idea somewhere to go back to Africa and do something there. And, you know, like it was in 2021 and the COVID happened. And it changed the whole thing. I was learning how to brew. I was thinking going back to Africa. Everything went very, very fast. With my wife, we said like, okay, let's just go back in Africa and let's make beer. And this is how everything started.
Yeah. And originally you were born in Africa or in France?
No, I born in France, but my parents were in Africa. So I lived in Africa 16 years in Ivory Coast, Senegal and Mauritania.
And why did you choose Senegal now for your new home place?
It's maybe the only country where I feel like I'm in home, you know. And Senegal, it's like the door of Africa. They speak French. It's a very chill country. It's easy. It's always sunny. And it's very important. It's a stable country, you know, for West Africa. Now, the economic start to increase a lot. It's about 20 years now. So if you want to do something new, found a business in Africa, it's one of the places where a lot of things is possible.
Yeah, so I understand it's a little bit like you. You also are always sunny.
Yeah.
That's something I really like. You're always laughing, you're smiling, even after a long travel or hard work or whatever. That is really great. How is the beer world in Senegal? So are there many breweries? Are people drinking beer? How does that work?
So there is the industrial beer called Sobois, which is the Castel group. It's an empire in West Africa. So Castel came there in the 60s, just before the independence, and they built different breweries. And they have this industrial model. So they had like two beers only. So when I was a kid in Ivory Coast, there was maybe two or three different beers made by Castel. And when I went to Senegal, it was exactly the same beer. So that was the market. There was only these two beers, Gazelle and Flag. And it has been like this till 2018, where the first craft beer born. You know, so there's this French guy. He knew that the craft beer world started to grow, and he decided to make the first brewery here because a lot of customers like wanted something new and different, you know, something that they knew before in Europe or America. The demand was already there. They just needed the brewer. So the first brewer is called Gecko Brewery, and it was the only one. And then a second one arrived about 4 years ago. It's a Belgian guy. It's called Bono, but he make his beer for the African market. So he imported from Belgium. And 1 year after, I was there without knowing like that was happening already. I thought I would be the first, but it was great to see that it already happened.
And how hard is it to set up a business? So do you just go to an office and say, I want to do a brewery, or do you have to do special things or what?
Yeah, it's very hard because Senegal is a Muslim country, okay? So 95% of the population are not supposed to drink, okay? But you have also a lot of foreigners who love to drink and find like all the different alcohol they can. There is not so much, but there is enough. But when you go to the administration to find out how it works, to have the authorization, like they're not used to that. So they don't know the law, you know. All the law is the same as in France. So if you have like the code pénal and all the things for the French administration, if you know it, you can just do it in Senegal. But I didn't know at that time. So I was going to the wrong administration, and they told me like, you have to do this and this and this. And I did that for 9 months and find out that it wasn't for the good thing, because you call brewery is called brasserie in French, okay? But brasserie is also a restaurant. I was saying brasserie and they thought it was a restaurant. So I did all the paper for a restaurant. And then when they saw the tank, I explained I wanted to make beer, da da da. But when they came to the, they said like, no, you went to the wrong administration. So it took me a year before I had the authorization. But at the same time, I was working on my recipe, which was good because I didn't have that much experience and I had to work with local cereal and I had no idea how to use them and how that works. So a year was just perfect.
So, but finally you made it and then you started brewing your recipes. And did you, did you have like a team around you, people that you trained for brewing, or how is it looking today?
I was by myself. It was just me, my wife. Like, she didn't want to start with me. She was doing something else. But after 6 months, I was doing the recipe. You know, you make try to your friend. They say it's good, but, you know, it's not very good. So you have to, you know, make it better and better every day. And I was just brewing every day by myself and just waiting for a few weeks to try it. Then my wife joined me and we start to brew together and learn a lot of things together. And went to, like, you know, to find some traditional way of working with this cereal. So you can't really find things written. You have to ask the people. So you just go across the country and look for some people that know how to use millet, for example. And yeah, so that was it. So we just keep brewing until we find the right taste.
So from the beginning already, you had the idea to use local grains and yes, historic ancient ideas of African beers to make modern versions of that and to use these ancient grains or old varieties.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how did you came to this idea? Was that something you had in France already in mind? Or I think you normally you don't wake up and say, okay, let's do historic grains in Africa. So
in Paris, I was living in a African district, you know, it was near the Senegalese one, and I wanted to find the African taste. So I went to some shops, African shops, and find the flag in gazelle. You know, it was a long time I haven't tried this, but I couldn't taste, you know, I was thinking about something, but it didn't taste like it. I really thought like, oh, that would be different. There was something, you know, from Africa with different grain. I couldn't find any African taste in it. So I keep looking for an African beer around Paris. I found a few from South Africa, but nothing I know about. And like, you know, the idea start to grow and think like maybe there's something to do there and find a proper West African taste. This is how we start. I didn't know what grain I would use. I was just thinking, I would thought like I'd go to Senegal and I will look around and see if it works.
And that's fascinating. What was your first beer you made, but you also could sell, and how did the people react?
The first one was a stout. It's one of my favorite beers, Guinness. So I wanted to find something like Guinness. Central Africa, people love Guinness. And so I had this barley grain, so I start doing it. I wanted to add something in it to because it was too heavy. So I wanted to have something lighter, you know, adapt for Senegal. Senegal, it's very hot. It's pretty dry. So you want something digestible. So I look into like different information and I found out that the rice can make a beer lighter. So I sent some message to brewer in Japan to see if we could have some information. They give me a few and I thought, okay, I'm going to start with the rice. So I made it this stout with rice, with 30% of rice. It didn't work at first. I make it try. It was too heavy, too foamy, sometimes not very good, usually not very good. Little by little, I found a way to do it. It's 30% of rice and the rest barley malt.
And you're still brewing it today?
Yes, absolutely. It's called African Queen.
And how do the people react? Do the people like it? Are they curious? Do they ask you about how you make it? Or what is the African beer drinker like?
First of all, it was difficult because we came with the idea of making a different beer, you know, with rice, with millet, with sorghum and fonio. But like, I think a lot of customers have been used to the Flag and Gazelle, okay? And that was our first customer, the first one we knew about. They had habits about beer. So when you say like, okay, this beer is made with sorghum, they expect a very different taste, you know? And they think like, okay, maybe if nobody did that before, because it's probably not very good. So when they try it, it just didn't work, you know? I had to find my generation that are used to very different type of beer from Europe, you know, that they are curious and they wanted to try. My friend was very supportive, my wife too, and the first customer from our generation were nice with us. This is how we start. And after a year, you know, like we were doing different markets and different bars and like try to the people. And after a year, we start to have a small notoriety, you said, you know, people start to learn, know about us, and it have been easier and easier. And this is when we did the collaboration with Brooklyn that changed also.
Yeah, of course. That is another story, that because we have a common friend, Garrett Oliver from Brooklyn Brewery. We will talk about that maybe in a moment. Maybe two other things before. So after rice, then you went to sorghum. Or what was the path then with the other grains? Or millet first? Or fonio first? Or
it was millet. Yeah. We start with rice and then millet. And after sorghum, fonio. And now we're doing one with cassava, which is not a grain, but
that's like a root, I think. Yeah. Yeah, very interesting. I had one of these beers also in South Africa. I was very curious about that. And yeah, really interesting. And you have really beautiful logo. Does Maison Calao has a special meaning because you have that bird in the logo? Is that somehow connected?
Yes, the bird is come from Ivory Coast. North of Ivory Coast, there is this tribe called the Senouf. And they have this bird, which is a protection. You have a lot of meanings, you know. When I was a kid, my parents have this giant bird. And a lot of people were coming to our place, you know, looking at the birds because it's very big and it's, you know, it's imposant. He had some kind of magical power for the people. I grew up with it. A lot of weird things happened with that bird. And I was just fascinated by, you know, didn't know if it was a power or something, but just by the statue. We sell that statue when we went back to France. And I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, I just was obsessed by the bird. I said, like, okay, I should get it back. So I, with my wife, we came to Senegal just to visit. And I said, like, I can't leave that country without finding a bird. So I was looking for it for a month. 3 days before I left, I found a small bird. Bring back to Paris. It was in our place. You know, it was like kissing the bird every day, you know, just to give luck. And yeah, I love the name. I love the statue. I love the meaning of it. It was just in my mind. Whatever company I would do, I would call it Calao.
Perfect. A wonderful story. And also, I'm already in love with the picture and also with the statues. It's really great. So you also had it when we met in the USA.
Yeah, I had the bird. I've got it with me.
That was great. So now we are at this common friend, Garrett Oliver. So how did you come across you? Did he just contact you or did you meet somewhere or how did that work?
When I went to the east of Senegal, I found out about Fonio. I didn't know anything about that grape. Fonio come from Senegal, Mali and Guinea, a few other countries. But nobody eats it here, you know, because as Garrett explained, like, you know, when the French arrived, they didn't like it, so they make the rice. And that was a bit lost. So I went to the east in a very small village at the border of Mali, and it was in Christmas, so we had this big meal with Fonio. I loved it straight away, and I asked what was it. They explained me it was a very old grain and had a lot of very good thing in it. And I just said to my wife, we should do a beer with it. Probably we'd be the first making a beer with Fonio. And came back with some grain to use it. And I talked to a friend, Luke, on the internet. And 2 days after, he said, like, okay, you know, Brooklyn Brewery made the first Fonio beer. It's very interesting. So on Instagram, we asked for some advice, how it tastes like. We've sent some questions, and I think it's Garrett who answered to us. And he gave us exactly the quantity, how to use it, what it tastes like and everything. And this is how we start with Garrett. After a year, I had the contact of Pierre Thiam. I don't know if you know Pierre Thiam. He's the ambassador of Fonio in United States. He's from Senegal. He has some restaurants in America. And someone told me you should contact him because he comes often in Senegal and maybe there's something to do with it. I found out his contact, sent him a message. He told me, okay, I'm going to come in a month. We should meet. Also, I'd love to try your Fonio beer. And I made myself a Fonio beer with Brooklyn and Garrett. So we met. It was really great to meet Pierre. And he told me the Brooklyn team would come in a few months. That would be interesting if you met them. I said, wow, this is that could be amazing. And so he went back to America. He sent an email with Garrett's copy on it. And we start to talk. And we thought, like, okay, maybe it would be interesting to make a beer together with Fonio. Of course, they were making this short movie about Senegal and Fonio. And we decided to have a day together and to make the beer. And we did it. And after that, I say, like, okay, maybe I can make a special beer with Brooklyn. And they say, yes. And this is how it starts. We did it and everything went bigger.
Yeah, fascinating story. Garrett is a very charismatic guy and also a huge person in the brewing world. So that's also good to have him on your side. And also, I think the whole story, we will put a link to that film, to that movie in the show notes so that people can see it. It's really fascinating. Also, how to treat the Fonio. So it's,
yes.
On one hand, it's an easy grain because it's easy to grow. It grows everywhere. It doesn't need irrigation. It's a wonderful product. But when you have it, then it's hard to make something usable out of it. So there's a lot of work to do, which you can also see in the video. And this is really interesting. We have that beer. You gave me a bottle of it. So let's maybe try it. I don't know if you also have one.
I have a cassava beer that I have to try before.
Ah, okay. Yes, no problem. So you drink cassava. I drink this here. The name, is it just Calao or does it have a special name?
It's the Dakar Brooklyn one.
Ah, Dakar Brooklyn. Yeah, perfect. So let's pour it.
I just hope you traveled right, huh?
I did my best. So I had it in my suitcase and immediately afterwards put it in my fridge until now. So it should be okay. I have it now in my glass and you see it's a beautiful, bright, golden color. A little bit shiny, so a little bit hazy. On top you have a beautiful white foam. So very, very intense, very long-lasting.
Mm-hmm.
And also the color, I really like it. Beautiful. And a very intense, quite differentiated taste. So you have like some winey notes, but also some fruity notes. Winey, I would say it goes into like a white wine idea. The fruity notes go a little bit like mangoes, like apples. Also some citrusy aroma. Also, of course, you have some grainy-ish aroma, a little bit of honey. And also a very fresh character. It really makes me wanting to drink it. So that's also great. And really a little bit gentle. So a little bit noble. So more like a wine champagne-y character. So that's really very interesting nose. What would you say? You had it more often, I think.
Yes. So we have three different Fonio beer. You have the Pils. There's another pils and one with fruits, with mango. For me, the particularity of Fogno, it gives a very nice and sweet body to the beer. I really like the taste. It's not heavy, it's something a bit light, subtle, and you're right, it reminds the white wine.
Okay, so I have a try.
Yes. Yes.
Hmm. Yeah, same again. It starts with these slightly winey notes, and then it's on the tongue, and then it's really a light body, but it's there. So it's not watery, it's just, I would say, noble. So really very pleasant. Also reminding a bit on wine, on gooseberry, also some fruity aroma, and then some hop is coming also. You have some bitterness in the finish, and a very nice mouthfeel, very creamy. Also some bready character, a little bit like sourdough, so a little bit. Very complex, a lot of things you can taste and smell.
I don't have all the words, the right one, but for me, it's my favorite beer with the Fogno. It's the one we sell the most. Not because it's Fogno, because I think people just really like it. And it works really well in our climate here. It just fits, you know, with the country.
And how much Fogno is in it?
This one, there is 20% of Fogno.
And do you have to malt the Fogno, or is it just pure?
No, you can't malt it. We try, but it's so small. We don't have the tools for it. And I think it's just too small. You just use the Fogno as it is. So we have the whole system, you know, to break the grain and to keep something like, look like couscous. It's sandy, it's as small as the sand, looks like couscous, and you just put it into the hot water and you let it get bigger, let's say, and then you just pour it into the first step of the brewery, the mashing. And it works really well. It's very easy to use.
And can you do something with the spent grain, with the leftovers?
Yeah, absolutely. So we use the spent grain. We did a collaboration with an ice cream company. So we have a ice cream with Fogno and barley malt. It's really good. It's very good. And you know, the small grain, so to eat it like this, it can be very different. It's very sandy, you know, so some people don't like it. But into an ice cream, it gives a kind of crunch, which is very nice. It tastes like praline, which the Fogno doesn't taste like it, but they toast it and they use it into the ice cream. It's really good. It's very, very good. We did also some biscuits with it, which transform into flour to make some bread. And we give it to a soap company too. They use that in the soap also with the Fogno beer.
So would you say Fogno is growing in Africa, or at least in Senegal now, more and more? Or is it just a very small part?
I think some people are very pushing, you know, to value the Fogno. So you could see more and more the Senegalese diaspora would look for something West African. So they will look for different grain, you know, as Fogno, sorghum and millet. People mostly use with the rice here. So, you know, like all the plates are made with a base of rice. If you change to Fogno, it would get the sauce differently, very differently. So it's hard, but people are curious and they try it. But the good thing is, Fogno, it's very good for your health.
Yeah, very healthy grain, and also the original, more or less, from Africa. So it's great to support that. What else beers do you do? So we were talking about the stout. We now had the collaboration with Brooklyn. So what other beers are in your portfolio?
We have 9 beer now. So an IPA with rice, a stout with rice. We have a sorghum beer with pepper from Cameroon. And we have the cassava with the achéké. So the achéké is the cassava looks like couscous that we use. This is a lager. Then we have a fruit seasonal mango beer. We have also 100% Senegalese grain beer called Dakarwaz. And this is with 80% of millet and 20% of rice. We malt the millet too. And we have the Dakar Brooklyn also. And a Bissap beer. The Bissap is one of the juice that people drink here. It tastes a little bit like red fruit and sherry, I would say. The next one would be a spicy beer. With piment.
Also sounds interesting. Yeah, when I was in South Africa, I also learned a lot of local herbs from that region, of course. That was for me the most interesting beer, because you can get like an international lager everywhere in the world. But this very special things, which also have a special taste and also maybe some healthy ingredients and also really original stuff that is really interesting. We had a lot of talks because they asked me, what could we do for South Africa to have like an iconic beer? They thought of an African pils or something like that. But I said, okay, that doesn't make sense if you try to grow hops and reach the same what hops like in US or New Zealand are. But you have your herbs, you have your fruits, you have your wood, you have your culture, your grains. So use that. And I think that is really a key and a lot of possibility for the future, which is in general a fantastic thing. In terms of brewing, maybe a last thing, what about your brewery? How does that look like? Is it like stainless steel you imported from somewhere, or did you build it yourself, or what about your brewery?
We have a very small brewery for now. We just bought a new one that will come very soon. You can't really find the tools here. There's nothing that exists for the beer industry. We have to import, of course, the barley malts from Europe. We have to import the hops. We're trying to use as many hops we can from Africa. It's come from South Africa. The grain here, we malt it, so the sorghum and the millet. Then, of course, we use the water from here. And I think we will try at some point when we have the tools to make our own yeast, an African yeast. That would be great because I think you can find some very interesting here.
I think so. There must be yeast in Africa,
yes.
So especially in a region where the rainforest is.
Now there is a new barley malt from Malterop that is made in Ethiopia. But in Africa, it's harder to get things from your neighbor country than from another country in Europe or America. It's really hard. So we try to work on that so hard. And I think in a few years, things will change.
I hope so. That would be really great and a good development,
yes.
Also for the whole economy and everything. What are your plans for the future? So developing more beers or developing more throughout Senegal or having like daughter breweries somewhere else? Or what is your idea?
We'll try to extend our beer, maybe export it to Europe and America. This is something we want to try. And we will try, you know, to propose our beer to like the Senegalese restaurant in France. That's how we're going to start. One of the priority right now is to finish our brewery because we are brewing in our home. It's been about 3 years now. We just moved from other place. It's getting bigger, but it's pretty small. And now we find finally a brewery. So all our focus is there right now. So what we want to do is to have our tap room there and grow the grain, you know, that we use near the brewery, because there's a big garden, so we could tell to the people the story about the grain, and they could see it and see how it works. So we will probably do some workshop and things like this.
That is a fantastic idea. And if people want to visit you, they fly to Dakar, and then you can go by like Uber, or how can they find you?
There's our number on the Maison Calao, the Instagram. So you can just go on that, send us a text, and we will welcome them.
Fantastic. So we put that also on the show notes. And so I say thank you very much for your time, for the beer. It was great. And you have a beautiful day. I hope today looks very beautiful here on the video with your palm tree in the background. So I'm very curious to visit you. So thank you very much again.
Anytime. Thank you, Marcus. Have a good day.
Beer Talk, der Podcast rund ums Bier. Alle Folgen unter www.biertalk.de.